up again. But he left his hands there as I made my way to the elastic of his boxers. My name was a broken whisper from his lips. I glanced up through my lashes and caught his lustful stare as I pulled down his boxers. He kicked away his clothes, threw his shirt to the floor, and put his hands on my head. I pressed kisses up and down his shaft, ran my tongue over it, and added my hand into the mix. His breathing became labored, his fingers tightened in my hair. I opened my mouth and swirled my tongue around the tip, loving the way he pulsed and got harder. I stroked him and sucked in a synchronized motion, slowly at first, then faster, then slowing down again. He groaned and groaned and pulled my hair, panting my name.
"My turn,"
he grit out on a restrained breath. I shook my head, sucking again. He tightened his fingers even more, pulling me away so that his cock was no longer within my mouth's reach. With his hand on my neck, he slowly pulled me up to stand and leaned down to capture my mouth with his tongue diving in with force, swirling around mine and amplifying my arousal. My fingers dug into his biceps. He pushed me away and settled into the center of the bed, his hard, veined cock springing up between his muscled legs and perfect six-pack. He was perfection. I settled between his legs, which were hanging from the bed, and began to climb over him, stopping just before our centers met. He shook his head, eyes hot on mine.
"Come sit on my face."
I felt his words in my core and hesitated, unsure if I could even last long enough to do that. But his fingers dug into my thighs and pulled me up, positioning me the way he wanted. He teased me for only a moment, slowly licking my clit before he started to suck, holding me perfectly in the center of his mouth so that I didn't stand a chance. I shattered and shattered and shattered as he alternated between sucking my clit and laving his tongue over me. He turned us over in a whoosh so that my back was pressed against the bed and he was on top of me, caging me as if I'd think to go anywhere. He brought his pelvis down, his cock rubbing against me as I whimpered, shook, completely wrung out, but still spiraling with a need so great that my entire nervous system seemed to tremble with it. "I need you to..."
"I know what you need,"
he said gravelly. I opened my eyes and met his, my heart pitter-pattering. How many times had I envisioned this moment? So many that it felt as if I'd summoned it to life, with him looking at me through hazy eyes, clouded with lust and something else. Something that both terrified and excited me, because I'd never seen him look at anyone else that way. He braced himself on either side of me and shifted so that his tip touched my folds. He thrust, and I gasped, arching, bracing myself. But he didn't push in. I frowned, looking up at him, realizing that I was completely panting.
"You need to calm down, sweetheart,"
he said in the sweetest voice, and I felt myself melt a little. Some of the pressure lifted from my shoulders as I breathed out and gave a little nod. "Okay, I'm ready." He watched me for a moment, his eyes searching mine.
"You said you've done this before."
"Of course I have,"
I scoffed.
"I'm 24.
His eyes narrowed slightly.
He moved again, pulling out completely and rubbing his pulsing cock over my clit. I bit my lip to keep from crying out, but holy moly, my body was on fire.
"Tessa," he said, "did you fuck that guy in college?"
"I did."
I really did. I wasn't lying about that.
It just may have been the one and only time I fucked anyone in college, though. His eyes searched mine rapidly. He let out a slow breath that was followed by a string of curses as he rested his forehead on mine.
"Was he the only time?"
"I fooled around plenty of times,"
I said, offended.
"Just because I didn't have his experience didn't mean I didn't know what I was doing. I watched plenty of porn."
I'm not saying it's a bad thing, baby, he whispered. I just want to know how slow to take it.
Just please, 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 please fuck me. That seemed to break through his uncertainty. He pushed himself inside me ever so slowly, torturously slowly, stretching me.
You okay?
I nodded, eyes wide, afraid to speak. He leaned down a bit and kept going, pushing deep and hard once until he was completely inside me.
Fucking heaven, Tessa, he muttered against my neck. You feel like fucking heaven.
I arched my back, wrapped my legs around his waist, and pushed against him. He cursed again.
If you keep doing that, I won't last. Swear to God I won't.
His words were choppy pants as he continued to thrust into me. Slowly at first. So slowly I felt the burn spread through my veins and simmer as my eyes rolled back. Then he picked up the movement and began to move faster, harder, his hand closing around my throat as he ground into me. For a moment, I feared I'd pass out from it. The hand, the way he was fucking me as if he never wanted to come up for air, the way his eyes stayed steady on mine as if he didn't care whether he did or not.
Do you know how many times I pictured this? He asked. How many times I envisioned tearing off your clothes and fucking you like this?
I moaned, feeling a spike of adrenaline shoot through my veins.
My eyes rolled back.
Please don't stop.
Never stopping.
His fingers found my clit as he continued his thrusts. He was playing my body, and I sank into the rhythm of his hips, the strum of his fingers, the cadence of his words. And when I felt the build of my orgasm, the one I thought I wouldn't reach again after the one he gave me with his mouth, I reached for him, but he grabbed my wrists in one hand and held them over my head. My gaze dropped to the way the muscles in his abdomen contracted with each movement. When I looked back up, I focused on the clench of his jaw and the dark haze of lust in his eyes. He anchored me with that gaze, with his hand over my wrists, with every single motion of his ruthless fucking. He moaned, murmured something I couldn't quite capture as he moved a hand underneath my ass and, without pulling out, shifted so that he was sitting and I was straddling him. It was supposed to be a position that shifted the balance, the power, except Rowan still held it all. He held me as he fucked me from beneath. He held my gaze as he moved me up and down on his slippery, thick cock. He went in deeper this way, deeper in a way that stole my breath, my words, my thoughts.
Tessa,
he said over and over and over like a mantra.
My Tessa.
I'd never forget that. Not the way he said my name, and not the way he looked at me as he said it. My heart felt like it was on the brink of exploding, and that was when I shattered around him, with his name spilling from my lips. He groaned mine out as he spilled himself inside me, pushing in with one final hard motion, as to ensure I would never stop feeling him there. As our breaths recovered, he loosened his hold on me, and I untangled my legs from his waist. He blinked, looking at me with clear eyes, and brought his lips down to mine and kissed me again, softly, taking his time, saying things neither one of us would ever say aloud. And then we slept. Chapter 25 Tessa. Why couldn't we have done this 6 years ago? That was the first thought in my mind when I awoke with Rowan's fingers between my legs, stroking up and down my folds, flicking and circling over my sensitive clit. I moaned, blinking up at him. He was still looking at me with the same wondrous look as last night, the one that made my heart gallop. He slid first one and then two fingers into the well of my body, his eyes on mine as he worked them in and out. Expertly, he pulled sensations out of me until, silently, I climaxed because I couldn't seem to find my voice when he looked at me like that.
He put his forehead on mine and breathed out, before rolling over and getting out of bed. It was then that I realized he'd already showered and was halfway dressed. I cleared my throat. What time did you wake up?
I'm not sure I ever went to sleep.
He pulled his shirt shut and worked on the buttons as he turned to face me.
What do you mean?
I let my eyes drift over his body and sighed, making myself get out of bed. He simply shrugged, turned away from me, and continued getting dressed. I headed to the bathroom. I showered and dressed quickly, taking a cue from him and wearing a black knee-length skirt, a button-down, and heels. Comfortable heels. I threw a pair of flats in my bag, just in case. I doubted Rowan intended to drive the car around the city, and if we were going to be on and off subways all day, I wouldn't want to be in heels. We ended up grabbing breakfast at a little deli on the corner. I tried not to focus on the way neither one of us seemed to know what to say, but it was impossible not to with the awkward silence climbing with each second that ticked by. Finally, deciding enough was enough, I put my cup of coffee on the table, lowered the newspaper he was covering his face with, and made him look at me.
What is happening?
With what?
He eyed me, the newspaper, and me again.
Well, I'm certainly not talking about the news.
He folded the paper carefully and set it aside.
I'm compartmentalizing.
Well then, my brows rose. I hadn't exactly expected him to be that straightforward.
Compartmentalizing because you don't want to feel the emotion you're feeling?
He nodded once in confirmation, and my heart skyrocketed. A smile formed on my face, and I started to laugh, even though none of this was funny. It was crazy, and sad, and definitely not humorous. His lips twitched as he watched me laugh at his expense. I just couldn't understand it. Maybe I didn't believe in love the way my sister did. Not anymore, anyway, after my parents' divorce. But I believed in something, and that something was close enough to love. It was what I'd always felt for Rowan. And for him to also possibly feel it, but want to compartmentalize it instead of admit it was just, frustrating. Once I gathered my wits, I took a breath and tried again.
What do you normally do after you have sex with a woman?
Depends, he said. I dated a couple of girls in college, but nothing serious. Nothing that lasted very long. You know how I am.
Shrug.
There was this one girl, she was on the track team. We went out a few times, had sex, and it kind of fizzled out.
After a few times? I knew my mouth was hanging open, but I couldn't help it. There was no way in hell I'd get tired of him in just a few times.
Did you get bored, or did she?
I think we both did.
Impossible.
What about you? Who was the guy?
He asked. Just some guy. We were at a party, and one thing led to another, and we did it. I shrugged. Rowan's lips twisted as he looked at me as if he were trying to read more into my thoughts. I laughed a little.
I'm serious. There's really nothing much to tell.
We had sex. I left. He went his own way, and that was that. Were you drunk?
I pulled a face.
No.
Was he?
No.
I
took a deep breath and exhaled.
What?
What?
He shrugged nonchalantly and I glared.
Don't nonchalantly shrug at me, I said. You're judging me.
I am not judging you. Trust me, I'm not. I just wouldn't think you'd go and fuck the first guy who offered.
I scoffed, rolling my eyes. You are judging. And he wasn't the first guy who offered. He was in my English class, and I liked him. Seeing him at the party was just different. It was one of those moments you have when you're a kid and you see a teacher outside of school like they aren't allowed to have regular lives or something.
Like the time we saw Mrs. Beers at the movies and you asked her what she was doing there?
His lip turned up at the mention of this.
I smiled, feeling myself blush at the memory of my idiotic 16-year-old self.
Yes, 16, not 4.
Exactly.
So you saw each other at the party, had sex there, and went your separate ways?
Why do you look like you're tasting spoiled milk or something?
That's exactly how that thought of you with another man tastes in my mouth.
I shook my head, trying to play it off, but my heart was thumping erratically. He was jealous. Why did I like that so much? It was stupid of me. I knew it was.
He never answered my question yesterday,
he said. Which one?
Where do you see yourself in 5 years?
I don't know. I leaned back in my chair and looked out the window, watching the people swarm the streets as they tried to get to work.
This may be your home soon,
he said. Maybe.
You deserve Paris.
I let out a laugh. So I've heard.
It's the fashion capital of the world.
New York isn't that far behind it.
I raised an eyebrow. But Paris, Tessa.
He got a twinkle in his eyes as they widened, like he was dreaming it for himself.
When will you get that opportunity again?
He was right. I was just so tired of hearing it. I'd heard it from Freddie, Celia, Dad, Mom, Grandma Joan, and Sam. Are you done compartmentalizing? Can we get on our way and visit the factory now? He smiled, eyes dancing as he looked at me, and stood without another word. When we were walking outside, side by side, he wrapped an arm around me and said,
"Thank you for last night and this morning."
I looked up at him, confused. I didn't do anything this morning.
You did.
And last night? That was both of us. I struggled to find words. I was still confused.
You had only been with one guy, he explained. And last night felt like, you know.
Like I was still a virgin, I whispered. He nodded, eyes wide. It was so, so odd seeing him like this, so out of character. He was Rowan, captain of the rowing team, big, muscular badass that women drooled over, always walking around like he had a place in the world. But these last 2 days had reverted him to his awkward stage when we were teenagers. It was just weird. I didn't know what to do with it. What is wrong with you?
I stopped walking, which made him stop walking.
People bumped us from either side. Rowan took me by the arm and ushered me aside.
What do you mean?
You're acting weird. Like, really weird. I don't know what to do with it.
He closed his eyes and let out a breath.
When he opened them, he looked sure of himself again. Like a freaking programmed robot.
But I didn't want the programmed robot.
I wanted to know what the hell was happening in that brain of his.
I grabbed his tie, looped it around my hand, yanked him closer to me, and kissed him hard.
He groaned, his hand in my hair as he pushed me against whatever business was behind us.
I heard someone holler for us to get a room and laughed into his mouth.
He kissed me once more and backed away, his hungry gaze fixed on my slightly swollen lips.
I forgot my pen in the hotel, he said.
What?
I blinked.
Your pen?
It's a really special pen.
Are you saying this so we can go have sex?
Really, really special pen,
he murmured, his mouth coming down on mine again, his tongue doing the sweeping thing that hit me right between the legs. I nodded against him.
Let's go back and get it.
Chapter 26. Rowan. Our mini work vacation was up. We rode back home in mostly silence. It helped that Tessa was asleep half the time. It helped because it gave me time to think, to compartmentalize, to figuratively bash my head against the steering wheel as I drove while stealing glances of her sleeping form, the way I had done the last 2 nights. Like a creeper, basically. The deal was that I was freaking out. I never freaked out, ever, I was calm, cool, collected. I did not bleed, for God's sake. I wasn't about to start. I took a breath and kept my eyes on the road. I didn't like feeling off-kilter. I'd felt it before, sure. Tessa seemed to be at the center of things every time I felt this way. It wasn't that I didn't like it, but I didn't know how to handle it. And honestly, as far as things went, this was horrific timing for me to try to even fathom bleeding. I shook the thought away. I really needed to stop thinking about blood like I was a fucking vampire or something. Where do you see yourself in 5 years? Her voice startled me. I don't know. You don't know. You? She scoffed. I don't believe you. Where do you see me in 5 years? She tilted her head slightly, her lips pursing in a way that made me want to reach over and kiss her senseless. I look back at the road. Focus, Rowan. Focus. You'll be CEO of Hawthorne. You'll definitely have another location since you barely fit in the current one, maybe in New York? It's close enough, and it really is considered one of the fashion capitals of the world. I shook my head, smiling. Paris is still number one. Well, I don't think you're going to pick up and move to Paris. We have headquarters in London. That's right, she said, as if the memory was coming back to her. Your mom's. Is it still running? It will be. Soon enough. Will you take that over as well? I'll have to. Wow. Was that already in the works, or is it also because of the divorce? Yeah. They want to give me the company, I said. My heart clenched as if bracing for impact. I guess the divorce isn't good for business. Not with the brand they've built. She rolled her eyes, smiling. She was right. My parents built this whole family-run company with the concept and selling point that family is the thread that holds people together. Cheesy, and obviously unfit for us. They want me to get married. She looked stricken. To whom? Anyone. I don't think they really care. Heat traveled down my spine. I scratched the back of my neck. I mean, they care, because there are a lot of specifics. Get married for what? The family thing, I said. You know. Wow. She blinked and then opened her eyes wide. You're serious? Unfortunately. You don't even believe in love. How are you supposed to believe in marriage? I don't have to believe in love or marriage. I just have to do it. I felt my jaw twitch and rubbed it, hoping the action would take away some of the ache I was feeling, but the ache was everywhere, in my jaw, the center of my chest, burning me from the inside out. I wasn't sure there was any solution to that, and seeing the way Tessa was reacting to this news wasn't making it any better. How? She blinked a few times, as if trying to see me better. I just... How? It's a contract. I'd sign it, like every other contract I sign, with the knowledge that I can always get out of it. She folded her arms in front of her and looked out the window. We were 2 blocks away from her house, so I didn't push it. I didn't know what I would say to her anyway. Chapter 27 Rowan. She didn't allow me to carry her bag for her, but I followed her to the door nonetheless. I didn't want this to end just yet. I wished I could find the words to say that, but she was visibly upset at me, and I wasn't sure I could handle her throwing more things in my face right now. Thank you for coming with me. She nodded as she unlocked the door. Nodded. Yeah, there was no chance I'd just leave right now. She walked inside, let go of the duffel bag, and stood in the doorway, guarding it like Alfred and Batman, not quite trusting to let anyone in. It bothered me that the anyone was me. We had a perfectly enjoyable trip in every way imaginable. I knew the marriage thing probably came as a shock to her, but I didn't think she'd be angry about it. I felt myself frown. You're mad at me. I'm not. She lifted her face as she looked away briefly. I'm disappointed, though I'm not sure why. because you don't want me to get married. It was an obvious statement. I hadn't expected her face to crumble with it. Instantly, I wished I could take it back. I don't want you to get married for those reasons. It's just a contract. So you say. I'm not built for relationships, Tess. You know that better than anyone. Her eyes narrowed. Because you're afraid. If you do this, you really are going to end up like your parents. You're going to end up in a loveless marriage, and then you'll have to have kids with someone you don't love, and... She shook her head and exhaled, seemingly to catch her breath. I couldn't think of what to say, so I stayed quiet. Just say it. You're afraid. She was pushing, reaching. I sighed, running a hand through my hair. I'm not afraid of anything. She shook her head, clear disappointment in her eyes. Then there's nothing to talk about. I'll see you tomorrow morning in the office. Okay. Okay. I hesitated. Then she shut the door in my face. I couldn't breathe. I woke in the middle of the night, clutching my chest, willing my breath to settle into my lungs. I joked with Tessa the other night, saying that she may kill me, but I hadn't intended on it actually happening. Telling her about the contract definitely did not go as planned. What was worse was that the entire time I was telling her about it, I had the question on the tip of my tongue. Maybe asking her would solve the issue. It would mean that at least I'd be stuck with somebody of my choosing. I'd have the most beautiful woman on my arm at every gala and every function we'd be required to attend on behalf of the company. We'd take trips together and turn them into mini honeymoons. I could picture my life with her. I told her it was just a contract, and it would be, but it would be a contract with somebody I actually enjoyed spending time with. I batted the thoughts aside. It was useless. Having her sign a contract would mean trapping her and ignoring the one thing she said she didn't want. She didn't want to be stuck here. She wanted to leave and be free. She wanted to chase her dreams in fashion design, and while I could try to make things work in a way in which she could still do that, it wouldn't be enough. She wouldn't have the dream apprenticeship, and eventually, little by little, she would start giving up tiny dreams until there were none left. Reality settled in slowly, uncomfortably wedging its way under my breastbone, making its space right beside the possibility of what could be if things weren't already set in stone. If life wasn't dead set on making it impossible for her and me to be together. I went back to bed and tossed and turned for another half hour before waking again, and making my way to the bathroom, my chest squeezing tighter than before, and breath barely escaping my lungs. I held onto the edge of the counter and focused on my intake of breath, deep and steady. If this was how I felt because I wasn't sleeping beside her, I didn't want to think about how great the loss would be when she walked away this time. I glanced up and looked at my reflection in the mirror. Pale, drawn, desperate. I needed to get a hold of myself, get a grip, and go back to sleep. Maybe she'd pick the apprenticeship in New York. Maybe she'd stay close to home, close to me. And this wouldn't have to end. My mind went back to my previous thoughts, the ones I thought I'd talked myself out of already. Maybe I could figure out a different way to bring up the stupid marriage certificate I needed, and the pretend wife that would need to be by my side during some of the company launches. No one would ever understand it better than she would. Tessa knew me on another level, one that no one else had reached. Surely I could make her understand why I needed to do this. And then what? She'd agree to be your wife and play house with you, all the while knowing you'd never tell her your lover. Never let her feel how much you need her. I pounded my fist on the sink and cursed. She deserved better than that. She deserved Paris. With that thought, I washed my face and went back to bed a third time.
Chapter 28.
Tessa. I didn't know why this bothered me. I didn't believe in marriage at all. But for some reason, talking about it like it was a contract and not a sacrament made me feel a little sick. And his whole stance on relationships, it was bullshit. He was perfectly fine in relationships, as long as he tricked himself into believing he wasn't in one. He was loving and kind and attentive, and all the things anybody could ever want in a boyfriend. He just wasn't willing to be a boyfriend. If I pointed that out, it would only make the argument worse and more complicated, which would only rile me up more than I already was, so I went another route. I called my sister. Why I called her will forever be a mystery to me. Probably because, despite being the worst person ever to take relationship advice from, she was still my sister and best friend. And because midnight my time meant it was morning her time. It wasn't odd for me to be awake in the middle of the night either, so Celia answered the phone as if I did this every day. What's up?
Nothing.
She paused. I could hear the frown in her voice. Spill it. What's happening? Is it Rowan?
What? Why would you assume that?
Because every time you sound like this, it's because he's done something.
Another pause.
Wait. Is it the apprenticeship? Have you decided? Did you tour NYC? She said it like that. NYC. I sighed.
It's Rowan.
I knew it. What he'd do or not do now.
Well, for starters, he did me.
I covered my face with my free hand.
That sounds so weird.
Oh, shit, she gasped. Hold on one second. I'm going to step outside so I can hear you better.
I heard her heels clicking against the floor, a door open and close, and her breath huffed into the line.
Talk to me.
Well, we went to New York on a business trip, right? And it went really well. We talked about hooking up while I was home.
Wait a minute. You discussed hooking up?
Yeah.
I squeezed my eyes shut.
I know.
Only Rowan, dude.
I know. I think he was just afraid that we'd hook up and go our separate ways again, and I'd hate him because of it. Who knows?
I shrugged at my own thoughts. He's so particular. Did he also discuss what kind of condoms he uses with you, or was that left off the checklist?
I bit my lip. I didn't need a mirror to tell you my face was the color of a tomato.
Oh my God, Tessa. Tell me you used a condom.
I'm on the pill.
I rolled my eyes.
You are the worst pill taker in the history of pill taking, she said. You can't even remember to take your vitamins. I'm fine. Chill out.
I hope you know what you're doing, she said, and proceeded to pray to some saint.
You aren't even Catholic.
In times like these, I pull from all religions.
I scoffed. Stop it.
Okay, I'm done being dramatic.
What happened after you had sex? I launched into everything, starting at the cocktail party and ending with him telling me he needed to get married if he wanted to take over the company. When I finished, I was met with silence. Celia?
Yeah, I'm here, I just... That's a lot to take in.
I know.
You can't do this for him, Tess, she whispered after a while.
I know you've always had a thing for him, and you want to save the world and everyone in it. But that isn't your job. You need to live your life, too. He didn't ask me to help him. He didn't even hint at me playing the role of fake wife.
But it bothers you to think about someone else doing it?
I shrugged in the dark.
Obviously, it bothered me. I was calling her about it in the middle of the night.
I guess.
Don't do anything stupid. If you get stuck there, you'll resent yourself and you'll end up resenting him.
I think Rowan knows that. I don't know that I would resent him.
You would. Look at Mom. Look at Grandma Joan. Look at every single woman you've ever met who was forced to give up a part of herself at one point in her life for a man.
So, basically all women, I said. We all give up something.
She paused. Yeah, I guess you're right. Still, you're too young to do that right now. He isn't your responsibility, and you know he'd make an awful husband. He doesn't know the first thing about love. I wanted to argue with her. I wanted to tell her she was wrong and that the statement wasn't true. Rowan was kind-hearted and thoughtful. He could make a great husband if he wanted to. But that was where the problem lay. He didn't want to, and I wasn't sure that would ever change. The doorbell rang before I got the chance to say anything at all. I sat up quickly. Was that the doorbell? Yeah. I got out of bed, slid my feet into my fuzzy sandals, and made my way downstairs. Don't hang up, I whispered to my sister. Obviously not. Who the hell is there at this time? Isn't it almost 1 in the morning there? Yeah. I pressed to my tiptoes, looked through the peephole, and frowned. It's Rowan. What the hell? I stayed on my toes and inspected him better. He was wearing a black t-shirt that stretched over his expansive chest. His hair was in disarray, and his expression was completely blank. I heard my sister's protest as I hung up the phone and pulled the door open slowly. What are you? He stepped forward, cupped the back of my neck, and crashed his mouth to mine.
Chapter 29. Rowan. I was being impulsive. When had I ever been this impulsive? I broke apart from her lips when I felt her hands on my chest, pushing me away. Her eyes opened slowly, as if in a daze, which was exactly how I felt. What are you doing here? I pressed my forehead to hers, closed my eyes, and breathed against her in a plea, begging her not to let go. Not yet. I wished I could summon the words to my lips, but it would be no use. Even if I could speak the words aloud, I wouldn't. I shouldn't. It isn't fair to her, Rowan. None of this was, yet there I stood, wishing for things that wouldn't come true. Just give me 2 days, Tess, I managed to say against her lips. 2 days. No holds barred. Just us. She pulled back slightly, her eyes searching mine. I could tell she wanted to say yes. I wanted to pull the words out of her. Instead, I held my breath and awaited a response. 2 days? She asked, holding my gaze steady. I nodded. That seems so little for something so big. I fought a grin, fought the stupid, childish comment of, "That's what she said." She'd laugh, I knew she would, but this wasn't the time for jokes. You're leaving in 3, aren't you? Yeah, that's the plan. She exhaled. So give me 2 days. No holds barred means you'll have to tell me your deepest, darkest secrets. As long as you tell me yours. She licked her lips and smiled. Deal? Deal. And then my lips were on hers again.
Chapter 30. Tessa. We were lying on my mattress in my nearly empty room. Even with all of my childhood furniture gone, I was trying hard not to be weirded out. Especially not after he'd just had his mouth, his hands, his body all over and inside mine. He propped himself on his elbow and faced me. I was still breathing heavily from the orgasm he'd just given me, but my eyes were open, looking at the popcorn ceiling. "Why do they texture ceilings?" I said. "It's so pointless."
"Is that really what you want to talk about right now?"
No, it wasn't, but I also didn't want to look at him just yet.
"No holds barred," he reminded me and tapped my temple 3 times. Tap, tap, tap. "What's going on up there?"
"I just can't believe you'd get married," I whispered. I felt him stiffen beside me and knew he was probably wishing he hadn't gotten off the ceiling topic, but I couldn't leave it alone. The idea had haunted me since he'd told me about it. What if you happen to meet the woman of your dreams and you're wasting time by being married to another one just for the sake of a contract?
He laid his head beside mine. His breath tickled my nipple when he spoke again.
Do you really think it's likely that I'd meet someone like that?
You never know.
That wouldn't happen.
He shook his head.
I know it wouldn't.
But how do you know?
I pushed back, needing space to think and desperately wanting to look into his eyes.
The second I did, I regretted it.
His sad and hollow expression hit me deep in my marrow, and not for the first time. I wasn't sure I could be the one to fix this broken-hearted man.
People like me aren't meant to fall in love. We aren't meant for others to fall in love with us either. I'm too closed off, too guarded, too... I just... You know how people talk about the perfect match?
He shifted onto his elbow. I mimicked the movement.
I don't want that to ever be true for me, because my perfect match would be hollow and frayed, and I don't want to ever have to see that version of myself.
I wasn't sure what to do with his confession, so I said nothing. I'd always thought your perfect match was supposed to complement you in every way, but what did I know about perfect matches? The only thing I knew for certain was that the mere thought of him being like this with someone else felt like a stab to my chest.
His gaze broke away from mine and landed on my exposed breasts. I resisted the urge to pull the blanket back up.
I feel shy,
I whispered, closing my eyes away from his heated gaze.
Shy,
he chuckled, that deep sound that did crazy things to me.
His nose flicked mine, and he said,
open your eyes,
against my lips with his soft, gravelly voice that made my heart pitter-patter a little too hard for my comfort, so I took my time complying.
I think we need the lights off.
I disagree.
He moved so that I could see all of him, but it also meant he could see all of me, which he had already done in New York.
Why was this so embarrassing? I felt a flush creep up on my face.
I want to look at you.
You don't need to look at me to fuck me.
But I want to.
I hate you right now,
I groaned, fighting the urge to shut my eyes. He grinned, eyes dancing.
Liar.
I'm not lying, and I seriously hate you right now.
Come here, baby.
He leaned in and bit my bottom lip, sucked it into his mouth. He grabbed me with ease and positioned me so I was straddling him, his hard length between us as he took in every inch of me.
Show me how much.
My heart pounded as I braced myself on his chest and sank down on him. This time, I did close my eyes, savoring the feeling and trying to control the moan that threatened to come out as he stretched me, filled me so completely. I found my rhythm, slow at first. Gliding over him, I threw my head back every time his thrust met mine and his pubic bone tapped my clit. Then he grabbed my ass and spread me, his hips coming up harder, faster, making me feel wilder, out of control. I lifted my knees and picked up the pace, bracing myself on his strong, thick thighs as his hands slid up my body, as his palms cupped my breasts, as his fingers rolled my nipples.
Oh, God,
I moaned.
Yes,
he hissed right before he flipped me without so much as losing his rhythm. I was panting for breath, my legs over his shoulder, and he entered me again. Slowly, so slowly I thought I'd vanish before he completely stretched me. I whimpered when he stopped moving, let out a harsh breath, and looked down at me, his hair swirling onto his forehead, bobbing with his blinks.
Okay?
I nodded, lips parted as I looked up at him. My heart pounding so hard I was sure it would end up inside his chest instead of mine. When he brought his face down and slanted his mouth on mine in a slow, tender kiss, my heart stopped beating altogether. He bit my lower lip as he thrust deeper into me. My breath hitched, my back arched with the torturous movement. He seemed to be pacing himself, or maybe just enjoying tormenting me by not giving me what I wanted. I wrapped my legs around his waist and lifted myself, pressing into him. His gaze found mine in a gasp, and for a moment, neither one of us moved. Then he started to fuck me, spreading my legs farther apart, gripping my inner thighs harder with each thrust. My back arched into his movements. I wasn't sure how much more of it I could take. I wasn't sure how much... His hand came down between us and found my clit, stroking it as he fucked me. His free hand moved to cut my breast, his fingers pinching and rolling my nipple. Sensations seared through my veins as we found our pace. I felt like a furnace from the inside, hot with each lick of the wildfire that seemed to consume me. He whispered my name, a vow, a pledge. I moaned out his with pleasure as I went over the edge and looked into his eyes as he bit his lip and spiraled down with me. Chapter 31. Tessa. The following morning, I wasn't surprised to find that he wasn't there. My first thought was, he got scared. Hell, I was scared. What we'd shared was nothing short of magical in my book. Still, I would have liked for him to have stayed. I reminded myself that it was a work day. I was sure he'd gone home, showered, changed. I did the same, wondering if he still wanted me to go into the office. I figured I would. I could continue making calls and setting up appointments and phone calls for him today and tomorrow. It was two more days on the paycheck. I told myself it was only that. I had agreed to 2 weeks, and I wouldn't cut it short. I turned around, keys in one hand and phone in the other, as I scrolled for an Uber, when I heard a car pull up, the gravel of my driveway crunching beneath its tires. Goosebumps kissed their way up my arms as I locked the door. I didn't have to turn around to know it was him. I pushed the side button on my phone, Uber ignored, and watched as he pulled to a stop in front of me, passenger window down.
"You're going to be late,"
he called out. "You think my boss will be upset?" I opened the door and slid into the seat, snapping on my seatbelt before facing him. His gaze was dark and needy as he leaned in, put a hand behind my neck, and pulled me closer.
"Furious,"
he responded against my lips. My heart bounced in anticipation of his kiss, which I didn't have to wait long for. His tongue swept into my mouth and play alongside mine in a deep, slow tango that made me think about hard, slow fucking. I clenched my thighs in response, moaned against his mouth, caught a fistful of his hair as I pulled him even closer. We were both breathing heavily when we broke the kiss, him nibbling on my lower lip, me tugging his into my mouth and extracting a rumbled sound from him that made my pulse kick. "Your dad's going to be mad at you," I whispered when he placed his forehead against mine. I felt him smile against my lips. He kissed me one more time and settled back into his driving position.
"I brought an overnight. I didn't really want to leave you this morning, but I didn't want to wake you up either."
He handed me a coffee and a bag from the coffee shop down the street. I peeked in and pulled out the bagel. "You stayed over?" I didn't know why this surprised me. "I didn't really peg you for the staying over type."
"I stayed over the other night."
"We didn't have sex that night."
"Which makes staying over weirder if you think about it."
"I guess."
"And we shared a hotel room in New York."
"Exactly. Shared hotel rooms imply that we're both staying over." I looked out the window as I added, "Preferably having sex."
"Preferably, huh?"
I could hear the smile in his voice, but I didn't face him since I was trying to hide my own.
"I came over last night because I wanted to sleep with you."
I turned my attention to him. "Obviously."
"Just sleep with you,"
he clarified.
"The sex? The sex was incredible, don't get me wrong, but I hadn't planned on that."
"You pounced me the minute I opened the door." His smile was almost bashful.
"Almost." "I couldn't help myself."
"Hmm." By the time we pulled up to the Hawthorne building, we were both grinning. Rowan went to the office to get ready for his morning meeting with his dad, while I went over to Sam's cubicle. He took in my appearance with a smile when he saw me approach.
How was the trip?
It was good.
You seem happier today.
Do I? I leaned against the partition wall, still grinning. Why don't you have an office?
Like Mighty Rowan with the office and the girl?
I rolled my eyes. You never wanted the girl. He paused for a moment too long for comfort, his eyes scanning my face that way he did when he wanted to say something, but was afraid of the consequences. I held my breath. No, 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 damn it. We went over this. We'd kissed and decided there was nothing there. But then, does a simple kiss determine your feelings for a person you've known your entire life? Sam, I started. He shook his head, tearing his gaze from mine.
Ignore me. I'm being a brat.
He sat on the edge of his desk, and I willed my feet to walk over to him, to be there for him. What's going on? He sighed heavily.
I haven't been feeling well lately, and it's making me act like a pansy.
You aren't a pansy. I smiled, opened my mouth to make a joke, but then stopped myself and took a seat next to him on his desk. What do you feel? Have you been to the doctor?
Just tired? All the time. My vision is fucked up. My head hurts. I think I need glasses.
Glasses, Sam? I laughed. Dude, go get glasses. You stare at a computer all day.
I'm going this week.
He shot me a weak smile.
Have you decided? Paris or New York?
I'll go to New York on Monday and tour the place, and then do the same for Paris on Wednesday before I decide.
You realize how rare that is, right?
I nodded and swallowed the emotion threatening to bubble up. I knew it was rare. My friend Hannah was still trying to get an apprenticeship somewhere, and she was talented as hell. I knew I was talented, and I'd been sending designs to both companies since I was in high school, so it wasn't completely outlandish that I'd applied to both when it came time, thinking I'd maybe, possibly, only get one. I was as shocked as anyone when I received phone calls from both offering me the position of my dreams. I pushed off the desk and gave Sam a side hug. He put his arm around me and rested his head on top of mine.
You'll tell me when you decide, right? You won't disappear again.
I won't disappear again.
Good.
Just then, we heard the elevator open and straightened as Cameron appeared. My heart pounded hard in my chest. She was dressed in one of those form-fitting shift dresses that not many people could pull off. It hung perfectly on her super slim body, those gazelle legs of hers carrying her weightlessly across the room. She glanced over to where we were and waved with a warm smile and finally approached. With Cameron, I never knew what version I was getting. The candied bubblegum girl or the vicious viper that lay beneath. I braced myself for both. She shot her megawatt smile at Samson first.
I missed you at family dinner last night.
Family dinner? Did the Hawthorns really hold up pretenses, even when there were no longer any to hold up?
It wouldn't surprise me if they did. Didn't feel like I needed to be there, he said. Not much of a family.
Her brows pulled in slightly.
That isn't fair, Sam. Just because your parents aren't happy with each other doesn't mean they don't love their children.
My father has multiple children, he said. He has us and one with another woman.
I felt the breath go out of me, and I could tell Cameron was just as shocked as I was. We shared a look, probably one of the only looks of solidarity we'd ever shared.
Rowan hasn't mentioned.
Yeah, why would he? Sam said. I'm just saying, it isn't insane that neither one of us show up for their stupid, pretentious family dinner.
He held his temple as he said the words. I reached into my bag and fished out some ibuprofen. I rattled the little container, which he took from me.
What are you doing here anyway?
He asked Cameron after he finished swallowing his pills.
I have a meeting with your dad and Rowan.
A meeting?
Sam's words hung between the three of us like thick fog.
Yep.
She smiled suddenly and looked at me, tilting her head slightly.
I heard you're still drawing dresses.
Here and there.
I pushed the words out quickly, hoping that would be the last of her questions. She stared at me for a long time, her clear blue eyes glittering. Her go-to look when she wanted someone to cower before her. I held my ground. Truth was, I hadn't sketched much lately. For some odd reason, inspiration only hit me when I felt alone. Who would have ever guessed that? Inspiration for wedding dresses hitting someone when they were alone and single felt like the worst kind of irony. "I'd love to see them," she said finally. "The wedding dresses, I mean. I may be in the market for one." It wasn't her words, but the slow smile that bloomed on her face that did me in. Rowan's words rushed into my memory. His parents wanted him to get married for the sake of the company. Someone had to be the sacrificial lamb. I tried hard to cling on to the last shred of self-control I had left. She was baiting me. I shouldn't take the bait. "Don't bite, don't bite, don't bite," I summed a smile. "Someone like you would never walk down the aisle wearing any less than Vera Wang," I said before turning to Sam. "I promised Rowan I'd get some work done before I left. Hope you feel better." I looked at Cameron as I sidestepped her. "Good luck with the dress." Heart pounding, emotions rattling, I walked away. "We're going in the same direction," she said behind me. I heard her heels click on the tile as she caught up to me. "Have you managed to sell the house? I saw a sign up yesterday." "Not yet. Hopefully soon." We rounded the corner and neared Rowan's office. I pushed the door open. He was standing, hunched over some papers, and didn't look up right away.
"Hey, have you seen my..."
His brows pinched.
"What are you doing here?"
Cameron sidestepped me and went around the desk. He stood at his full height, a good half foot taller than she was, and she was damn tall with those graceful, thin legs. If I didn't hate her so much, I'd kill to dress her. I watched as she threw her arms around his neck. He grabbed her by the shoulders and put distance between them, shooting me a quick look to make sure I knew he wanted no part of it. The damage was done. I walked to my desk and sat with my back facing them as I clicked the mouse and powered my computer to life.
"Ro,"
she said, sweet valley girl voice.
"Today's our meeting with Alistair, remember? Father said I needed to come right away to talk about the contract."
The contract. I bit my lip. The fucking marriage that one of them held as nothing more than a contract, and the other was happier than a pig in shit to oblige by. Maybe I'd talk to him. Maybe I'd try to talk him out of the stupidity he was about to commit to. And then what? Suggest I marry him instead? A shiver shot through me. It would still only be a contract to him, and I would give up everything. For what? Because I was holding on to some schoolgirl notion that I could make him love me? No, thank you.
"Let's get this over with,"
he grumbled. I continued clicking the document in the computer in front of me and picked up the phone, dialing Spain. They walked out wordlessly, and I pulled the curtain slightly to watch as they walked to Alistair's office across the hall. Cameron was looking up at him, making a joke that clearly wasn't amusing him at all. Then she reached and pinched his butt. He continued walking. That tiny gesture was the crutch of all of it. It wasn't that he'd ever shown extreme interest in her. It was that he did absolutely nothing to stop her advances. Chapter 32. Tessa. Past. I looked into the cup of punch in my hand and wished it were spiked. Corrigan was standing beside me, going on and on about the branches of the military. Freddie deployed about a month ago, and since then, it has been all everyone wanted to talk about. It was as if no one understood why a guy who had everything going for him, money, looks, women, would choose to go and fight for his country rather than take the comfortable route. It was as if they'd all forgotten 9/11 and how torn up we all were when it happened. It hadn't even been 2 years, for God's sake. I'd be lying if I said I didn't worry sick over my brother's safety, but I was prouder of him than anyone else in my family.
I glanced up and watched as my parents spoke to Mildred. Mom had her hand on her chest, her eyes caked with anti-inflammatory cream and makeup to try to hide her distress. And Dad was nodding along to whatever was being said. My brother's deployment had added 10 years to their state, and my Yale acceptance had added another 10.